I'd like to call our October 23rd, 2023 special session for Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. Ms. Ocona, may I please have a roll call?
Commissioner Clark?
Present.
Commissioner Nichols?
Here.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
Here.
Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Zielinski?
Present.
Vice Chair Sturman?
Present.
And Chair Harrington.
Present. Please join me in our Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you again for joining us this evening. A few housekeeping items. The restrooms are outside and to the right. Right outside is the fountain. If you wish to speak during call to audience in the back, please fill out a blue card located on the back table. It's right out there over the right. If you wish to fill out those in full, please give those to our recording secretary, Ms. Ocona, which is to my left. On tonight's agenda, we have one public hearing for two items requiring two separate motions. Please be aware the motion for item B is dependent on the motion for item number A. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issues not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to Arizona law, opening meeting law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on any matters raised during call to audience. In order to during call to audience, please specify if you wish to discuss when completing your blue card. Ms. Ocona, do we have any blue cards?
No, sir.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and close call to audience. It looks like we have our vice mayor. Could you please give us our council liaison?
Thank you. Microphone. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Because this is a special session tonight, I don't have my typical council liaison planning updates, but I just want to encourage any of you who know people who are interested in applying to any of our boards or commissions to get those applications in. And we have our Community Academy starting up about this time. I think it's been pretty full and successful. So thank you to our planning staff and others who are putting that on. And that's all I have for you tonight. Thanks.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Baird. At this time, I would like to have agenda item number one, Ms. Ocona.
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding a revised planned area development amendment and master development plan, conceptual site plan for the Oro Valley Marketplace located at the southwest corner of Tangerine and Oracle Road.
Mr. Spaeth, you have the floor.
All right. Thank you, Chair, members of the commission, members of the audience. My name is Michael Spaeth, a principal planner with the town of Oro Valley. As Ms. Ocona indicated, our purpose tonight is to consider two items related to proposed changes to the Oro Valley Marketplace. The first is item A, a planned area development or PAD amendment, and item B, a revised master development plan and conceptual site plan. Both items overlap and involve changes to the approved entertainment district. These revisions are focused only on the area highlighted in yellow in the graphic at right. The design you'll see tonight is very similar to the approved design. However, there are two key changes that staff focused on during the review and we ask the commission focus on tonight. The first is that there is a proposal to phase improvements in the entertainment district. And the second are the type, quantity, and location of amenities that are proposed for each phase. As with all PAD amendments, this is a discretionary ask before the commission this evening. These items are presented for discussion and possible action. So just to quickly orient everyone to the subject property, it is approximately 110 acres in size and is located on the southwest corner of Tangerine and Oracle Roads, as shown in the image on the left. The approved master development plan included four development areas that are shown in the graphic on right, and the requests before you tonight, again, only involve the entertainment district in development area 3, highlighted in yellow, as no changes are proposed for development areas 1, 2, or 4. So just to provide a little background on how we got here, four items were approved by Town Council in October and November of last year that were necessary to enable development as proposed by the applicant. Ultimately, this resulted in the revised plan that includes the four development areas shown on the right. Those four applications are shown on the screen, and the applicant's request tonight involve revisions to items C and D. So why are we here? The applicant's proposal is to phase the entertainment district improvements and amenities, as I mentioned, and also there are new proposed amenities. Both of these proposed changes do represent significant changes to what was approved and presented to both commission, council, and to neighbors last year. So just as a reminder of what was previously approved in the entertainment district, the full entertainment district, as shown on the screen, included the following amenities: two turf areas, a splash pad, a wading pool, playground, an overflow event space, gazebo, and sandbar. Part of that original approval was that there would be a public-private agreement between the town and the property owner relative to the construction costs of this area. If there was an agreement, it was to be constructed in one full swoop. Per the applicant, that there is not an agreement, and discussions towards that agreement do not appear to be moving forward. So we're here before the commission with these proposed revisions from the applicant to seek a path forward to try and address the open space requirements within this area so that construction can begin within other parts of the shopping center. So as I mentioned, there are two key changes or two focal points that we want commission to focus on with tonight's revised applications. Again, the first is breaking up the improvements and installation of amenities in the entertainment district into three phases. For reference, on the graphic on the right, I've kind of highlighted some bookends, if you will, in red. On the south end are the restaurant cluster and courtyard areas. And on the north end by the theaters are the overflow parking and event space. So phase one, shown in yellow, is approximately 2.9 acres in size and is required for the development of apartments in development area 1 and 4, which is a little bit more than the 1.7 acres that is required for those apartments. Initially, the applicant used the entire credit for development in the entertainment district towards this 1.7 acre requirement and is revising their application to only use the 2.9 acres that is included in phase one. There is a high probability that phase one will be the only phase built, so staff reviewed the revised applications with this in mind, and we ask that the commission do that as well. Phase two, shown here in yellow, is approximately 0.9 acres in size. That acreage was included in the original 2.9 acres in phase one and is only required if apartments or hotels are built in development area 3, where those orange boxes have shown up on screen. Those amenities in phase two would be those required for either an apartment or hotel development in that area should that come to fruition. The applicant has indicated that apartments and a hotel in this area are unlikely based on market factors. Again, we will have them be providing more detail during their presentation. Phase three is the yellow, orange, and gray area underneath. That is the full open space area from the original entertainment district design. That does, however, need public-private partnership agreement to help share those costs of improvement that I mentioned previously. That design would require undergrounding of the drainage way within the open space area as it exists today, and the applicant has also indicated, as I said before, that that financial agreement does not appear likely, as there is a lack of funding for that at this time. So again, the first key change or focal point that we ask Commission to focus on are the proposed phase lines in the plan and whether or not they seem appropriate. I would also like to point out that the restaurants, courtyard, and event space on both the north and south end of the entertainment district are not tied to any of these three phases, but are rather market-driven. However, there is a condition in Item A, the PAD amendment, that ties development of the courtyard to the first restaurant that goes in that restaurant cluster. The second key change, as I mentioned, are the type, location, and number of amenities in each phase and whether or not that mix seems appropriate. While there are three proposed phases that altogether would achieve the original intent of the entertainment district, phases two and three, as I stated, may or may not happen. With that in mind, again, staff focused on phase one as a potential standalone option. It is worth noting that all of the amenities in phases one and three are extra, as all code-required recreational amenities for the development of apartments in areas one and four have already been met on site for those two respective areas. So that is worth keeping in mind. Staff did work with the applicant to concentrate as many of the amenities in phase one nearest the courtyard and restaurant cluster as possible to increase the likelihood that they would actually be used in the future. The amenities shown on the screen for phase one are intended to activate that courtyard and restaurant cluster area as an activity node, and again will be designed outside of the existing drainage area and does not require undergrounding of those facilities as part of this phase. Phase two, again, is only required if an apartment or hotel is built in development area three and would include a pool or a playground if apartments are built, or a pool and possibly sandbar if a hotel is constructed in the orange area shown on screen. Phase three is very similar to the full entertainment district that was approved originally. However, there are several new amenities included in this phase beyond what was approved by council. This design does require the undergrounding of that drainage area that exists today. And again, that would only be possible if there is an agreement reached between the town and the property owner in the future to address cost sharing of that improvement. Again, the applicant will be providing more detail of each phase during their presentation. So just real quick, I wanted to provide a comparison of what's existing versus what's proposed. So the two renderings on the screen include on the left the existing approved entertainment district, and on the right, the applicant's proposed phase three entertainment district amenities. You can see the designs are very similar, and the applicant's proposed phase three design actually does include several more amenities than were originally approved. So in summary, the requests are before you this evening as the applicant seeks a path forward for development within the center in the absence of that cost-sharing agreement. And the requests really involve two key changes: the phasing of improvements within the entertainment district, and then the type, quantity, and location of amenities within each phase. Staff does note that if all three phases are developed, the design will be consistent with what was originally approved for the entertainment district, but we do recognize there's a high probability that only phase one will be developed. And so staff is supportive of the applicant's effort for phase one to concentrate as many amenities towards that activity node with the courtyard and restaurants as much as possible. So staff does recommend approval of both items A and B, and Mr. Chair, as you mentioned, there are two separate motions required this evening. So thank you very much. That concludes my presentation, and the applicant is here to provide a presentation as well.
Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. So we have the applicant here, Ms. Carrie Sylvan. You have the floor.
Thank you. Do I need to change the PowerPoint? Oh, Mike's going to do it. All right, I'll introduce myself while that's all happening. Carrie Sylvan with Lazarus and Sylvan. I am representing the developer and owner of the project. With me tonight is Jim Horvath and Toby Horvath, as well as Rob Longacre from WOB Group, who is our planner and engineering firm. I want to thank you all for having a special meeting to talk about this project. Last time I was before you on this project, I think, was December of 2021, at which point you all approved actually a much bigger project, or recommended approval of a much bigger project. I'm going to end up repeating some of what Michael just went through. I'm going to try and consolidate as much as I can, and then obviously I can answer questions after. As Mr. Spaeth already indicated, this plan is what was approved in November of 2022 with 23 conditions from the town council. It was a very different project, again, than what was before you guys. It was the scale of it, the heights were all lowered. We have it approved, and we are not requesting any modifications to those 23 conditions, or, as Mr. Spaeth said, anything related to the other areas of the development other than what we call Development Area 3 and the Entertainment District. As was said, the vision of the entertainment district really required the owner and the town to enter into an economic development agreement. The wash area, and I'll show you a visual of this in a minute, the idea was to take that regional drainage. That is not drainage for a drainage area for the site. It actually brings drainage from the north underneath Tangerine Road and brings it through our project and puts it in the big wash. And the idea was to take that regional drainage and channelize it and underground it so we could create the entertainment district on top. So the idea that was proposed was to share in that, as well as create this public amenity space with amenities that aren't otherwise required by code, to really draw and bring people and create another space for town and others to come to make it a cool town center. We were informed over the summer that the town council was actually not interested in working on an economic development agreement. So we've spent the last couple of months with staff trying to figure out how to move this forward. We had already started the apartment design. We had already started the hotel design. And we had to put that on hold in order to figure out what we were going to do with this center space, because, again, the goal and the desire, I think, from everybody is to go ahead and activate it, but we have to activate it in a way where it is affordable without a public-private partnership. So that's what we're bringing before you this evening. I do want to point out, and I'm going to come back to this, that courtyard area associated with the restaurants also requires that undergrounding. So I'm going to need to chat with you guys about that language that's in there relative to the restaurant and the courtyard phasing, but I'll come back to that and explain it better. Current tenants, retailers, and restaurants within what's now the Oro Valley Marketplace are really continuing to struggle. Town West has been doing its best to re-tenant when we've lost tenants. We've been working on this plan since actually 2019. We've brought people in with the acknowledgement that we're going to create apartments and hotels and put people and really re-energize it. And a lot of them are just flat out struggling right now to keep their doors open. Town West, as you all know, lost Best Buy. We've lost Dick's. Working hard to keep Ulta going. Couldn't keep Pedego. They tried to make a go of it. No pun intended. But couldn't do it. So we're really, Town West is, it's in everybody's best interest to keep those folks there. A lot of them are there and continue to be there because of the hope that this is going to move forward. So we've got to get this phasing taken care of so we can relaunch the apartments and the hotel. So that's the reason for this phasing plan. We are holding out hope that there is a point in the future where we can re-engage and either a new funding source, something that would allow us to work with the town to create that overall phase 3, the full entertainment district. So we want to keep that. alive. Again, this is a phase one, and then I'll explain phase two as well to kind of to get it going so we can start putting some energy back into the center. All of you are probably aware, and I think staff explained this, apartments have recreational requirements, and there's two components to the recreational requirements in the town code. One is a particular set of amenities. We have all of those amenities on the apartment sites, as shown on this plan. The second is the open space requirement. And as part of the approval back in 2022, portions, not all, but portions of that required amount of open space are being met in that center recreation area. So one of the very first exercises that we did working with staff was taking a look at this center area and figuring out, developers call this a constraints map, so figuring out what our constraints are in the area, in this area. So the non-green area in the middle is the area that is the wash that needs to remain, along with the edges of the wash. So what is hard to see on here, there's a topographic map underneath it, kind of the brown areas that are on the edge. Those are the wash slopes. So those are all areas that without, again, the public-private partnership and being able to move that forward, we can't develop in those areas. So what's left is the green. We also went ahead and put in there the mature vegetation, because if we're not going to go ahead and channelize and do all that, the mature vegetation that's there is very nice, so we wanted to go ahead and keep it and design around it. So what you're seeing there, those green areas add up to the 2.9 acres that is the phase one that we're talking about. The code requirements for the apartments for, and I'm going to try and minimize my throwing numbers at you, that to suffice it to say, and I can go back into the numbers, that this area will meet all of the additional open space that's required for all of the apartments that could be on the site. Our focus right now, and this is partly in your staff report, is development areas 1 and 4. Because that is the phase that we had already started design and we want to get back and going. And that would require of the, I think it's a little over 3 acres of open space, and I can get you the exact number. We are only asking for 1.7 to be used in this area. And again, we're not asking that today. That was already approved. So what we're trying to do is get this through, we're meeting that, what was already approved in the phase one, if that makes sense. So our goal in looking at this, again, no other amenities are required by the code or for any of this area. However, the goal of this has always been to amenitize and to try and figure out how we can get people into this space. For those of you, if you've been over there, there are existing paths, there are benches, there's artwork already in a lot of the space. It connects the loop down at the south all the way up to the Tangerine connector to the north, and most people don't use it. So what we want to do is create that amenity space and get the apartment dwellers to start using it as well as the hotel guests. So we worked with staff on phase one. I'm going to break this up for you as well, so bear with me. We want to activate this area from north to south. The light green area on the sides is now the area that is that 2.9 acres that we have to work with in our phase one. The northern area, as staff indicated, is available for the community events. That has always been the plan. Right now, when we do things like the tree lighting, the car and RV shows, the Taste of Oro Valley, the Blues Cruise and Barbecue, all of those events take place on the lots that are now going to be developed. So we want to create that space. And we felt like up north was the place to do that because it gives us that area just south of it as well for some spillover and the connectivity to draw people up into the north when those events are taking place. On the south is the restaurant area, the restaurant cluster with the courtyard. Again, I want to point out the courtyard can only be built with the public-private partnership. So we're hoping that the restaurants, when there are people there and things happening, we can keep our current restaurants there healthy and have the capacity and the demand for more restaurants. But again, that courtyard would be conditioned on that public-private partnership. There are a couple of things that you're seeing all the way through that aren't necessarily, we didn't put dots on them. We really want to make this dog friendly, so we're talking about pet friendly stations. You're seeing some pictures over on the side. There is native vegetation up and down. We want to do some educational native vegetation signage and interactive native plant displays. And then the par course or the exercise stations, as staff has indicated, are from the south all the way up to the north. And if you've ever participated in those at all, they have them at Himmel Park and a few other areas. At each of the stations, there's a sign that tells you where the next station is. So if you want to do all of the exercise available, you'll want to go hit all of those stations. So we took those all the way up to the north. So starting up at the north, again, there's that activated space that I just talked about, gem shows, art shows, the koi events. Many of you have probably been to those. That would take place up in the northern area with the natural area to the south being an opportunity to spill over into there. The par course you'll see is over on that fourth station is over on the west side. And again, that connects up to the Tangerine multi-use path. The artwork, the benches, ramadas, things like that are designated throughout. The center area, which will also potentially be some buildings over on the east side that I'll show you in a minute as our phase two is in this area. Again, we've got two of the parkour stations, ramada, continuing the native plant displays. The area where the ramada is down over on the east side, as you'll see in a minute, if in fact this is developed as apartments or as a hotel, if they're the amenity spaces required of the apartments and probably desired of the hotel would be in that area. And then the south, in working with staff, is really the area that we wanted to concentrate most of the amenities. That is the area that will hopefully have the restaurants and the courtyard area. It's also the area where the loop is. The bathrooms are currently there, so it can draw people in really easily. You'll see the ramada, the benches, the bocce ball courts, ramada, cornhole. We put in some of those, if you've seen them before, they're permanent tables that have checkers and chess painted on them so that people can do that, horseshoe pits, and again, the first parkour station. The idea here is that these will be opportunities for both the public and the folks who live in the apartments and who are staying at the hotels. So if you're a new resident to Oro Valley and living in the apartments, you can check out the bocce ball, bean bags, the cornhole stuff, the chess, all of those things, and you can take them over. It will be encouraged for people to come over here and use this area. The hotels can do the same thing. The public would need to bring their own, or there may be opportunities in the future with a restaurant cluster. There's a couple of those up in Phoenix where you can leave your driver's license and go ahead and check out that stuff. For right now, public would have to bring their own for until some of the other stuff is developed. This is just showing you yet again the full phase one. This isn't a new graphic. I just wanted to highlight, as we call things, phase one, two, and three, and then I broke up phase one into three slides that everybody's clear that this is entirely the phase one. I do want to point out, too, in phase one, we did add a little play area for kids. You can see over on the left-hand side of the screen the passive play area. It's boulders and kind of play logs and things like that that kids can participate in, maybe while their parents are doing or grandparents are doing the parkour. And again, all of this would be open to the public. What I did right there was added in phase two. So here's phase one. If you watch the right-hand side of the screen, there's your phase two. Those are the buildings that were already approved. Again, there's some options for uses. What we wanted to show you all and encouraged by staff to do that is to demonstrate that there are additional amenities that will be required with the apartments. These will be private to the apartments only, but we needed to show where they would fit, because it was part of figuring out the area that was available for phase one improvements. And again, if that ends up being a hotel and the hotel decides to do some amenities, that is the space most likely that they would be doing those. And staff already touched on this. Phase three is exactly the original entertainment district. We're still hopeful that we can re-engage, or there's other funding sources that may be available to do the regional and public areas that we had hoped to partner with the town on. We want to leave that open, and we're not intending to take away the phase one amenities. So those would remain. There may be a few of them as you do construction, right, of the drainage channel that might need to go away depending on the construction plan. But for the most part, we think we're going to be able to leave it because it's in those flatter areas. A couple of the conditions of the approval, and again, I had mentioned this before, we're not requesting any modifications to the 23 conditions that are part of the approval, was to make sure that we had strong pedestrian connections. So whether we are talking about phase one, two, or three, this is all of the pedestrian connectivity that is available to this area, and again, will be encouraged. We expect from the apartments the primary will be the loop, because that is at the southern edge or the western edge over on development area four that's along Oracle of those apartments. So it'll be really easy for people to jump on the loop and head over there and then go north from there. They can also travel through the center if they so desire. There's a lot of paths, there's a lot of benches if you've been over there that exist today. And we will continue to work toward that condition. Again, the request is simply to create a phasing plan for this area so we can get things going for the central open space that will activate the area with the existing man-made regional drainage being preserved, since there isn't going to be a public-private partnership at the moment. The amenities that are in there, again, are not required. We want to put them in to activate as the developer. We worked hard with staff to identify those appropriate amenities, and we're still hopeful that phase three can come to fruition. We are requesting, respectfully, your recommendation to approve. What I would ask is for some clarification about the timing of the courtyard and the restaurant. As staff indicated, there's language in our PAD amendment that says that the courtyard would be built with the first restaurant in the amenities in that space. The courtyard requires that public-private partnership or some funding source. That was meant to be aspirational, not a requirement. So a clarification of that language. And the language is actually in the very last paragraph of our plan amendment under phasing. And what it says is the courtyard will be constructed concurrently with the first restaurant within the restaurant cluster. So we were asking for that revision, for a recommendation to approve revising that language to say subject to market conditions and a public-private partnership or alternative funding source. The goal is for the courtyard to be constructed concurrently with the first restaurant within the restaurant cluster if possible. The other option is to delete that sentence. But again, we don't want, if there's a market for restaurants in that area, we don't want them not to be built because it requires a courtyard area that can't be done because there's regional drainage in the area that needs to be undergrounded. So our hope is that you would recommend approval with that revision. I'm happy to answer any questions now or if you want me to come back after the public hearing.
Before I open it up to public hearing, I have one particular question. Could you explain it or go into a little bit more detail why the park or the park area next to the courtyard area is not combined since they're right close to each other?
Can you, what do you mean the park area?
I'm talking about the courtyard area and the grass area in that area, right adjacent to the courtyard.
So this may not have been the best graphic. The green area, that is the natural drainage way?
Correct.
Okay. So there's a significant elevation change. I'm clearly not understanding your question. Why don't we try that again?
No problem. Let me see if I make it a little bit clearer or decisive a little bit. The courtyard area where it's the hub around that restaurant area, and there's green grass area on one of the diagrams. Why is that not connected?
You're talking about this, what would be phase three?
You have it listed as park.
Right, so that is phase three. That's if that whole area gets undergrounded. Then we were planning on putting a park on top. And then it would be connected with that courtyard. So the original vision of the entertainment district, right, was it requires undergrounding the drainage way all the way down through the courtyard and the restaurant cluster. So the idea was there's the courtyard, and then you'd have the park right adjacent to it. Again, undergrounded drainage, so not the natural drainage way. And then all of those amenities, and then that would continue all the way up until you got up to north of the turf area up on the north. So phase one isn't showing that because that neither the courtyard nor that area, that's going to be left as a natural drainage. I keep touching the screen and messing that up. Sorry. Where's the clear? I'll stop touching. Thank you. You're going to make it not. Did that answer your question?
Somewhat. I'll have further questions later. But
okay. Sorry.
I just want to make sure that was out there and make sure everyone's aware and the audience is aware as well.
Okay.
All right. I'll go ahead and open it up to public hearing. Ms. Acona, do we have any blue cards for public hearing?
I haven't received any.
I'll go ahead and close. One here. Ms. Acona, right over here. Tell him. Looks like we have a Bud Salvio.
Cecil.
I'm sorry. If you will please come up to the podium and let us know if you're an Oro Valley resident.
Yes, my name is Bud Cecil. And I live north of Moore on La Cañada. I'm the resident. And I'm also the owner of Tuk Tuk Thai. I think I was here last time, speak of the asked approval. And honestly, she said, we are struggling. We need foot traffic. My hope is when I move in there 2 years ago, that this should be approved and starting developing already. So I need it. I need it to be approved, and I think it's a win-win situation for the community. For example, yesterday, I had to take my niece somewhere. I have nowhere to take her. I had to go all the way to Speedway and Swan. You know, I spent $200. I would have spent $200 in Oro Valley. And then to support the local a business here. He said, there's nowhere to take her. But this year, we try to support Peachtree, and I take her there almost every other day. And then we are struggling. And then we even thinking about closing 1 to 2 days a week, and we don't want to do that. And then if this get approved and it gets started, and at least I see the light at the end of the tunnel, because right now it's really dark. And then when I heard this, I got a hearing, and then I make a point to come here to at least you got to hear from me. I'm struggling. And then I think it's a win-win. If it get approved, then it generate more revenue for the town. And then I live here. I would love to have a place to go. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there any other blue cards, Ms. O'Connor? No. I'll go ahead and close public hearing. Do we have any other commissioners have any questions for any of the... Commissioner Clark?
Thank you. So I'm not sure if this is a Mr. Spaeth question or a question for our developer. I know we've talked a lot about public-private partnership, and I'm just wondering, we haven't talked numbers, and what is this going to cost the town?
Chair and Member Clark, I'm struggling with exactly how to answer that because we've been negotiating that in an executive session, and so there were drafts going back and forth. And it is the town council's decision at this point, or what was conveyed to us. We weren't in the executive sessions not to move forward. So I can't really answer that at this point. What I can say is the goal of that economic development agreement was to have the developer take almost all of the risk, actually all of the risk, and only have a very small portion of the revenues generated as they were generated being used in this area. And if the development didn't move forward, if it stalled out, it would have been him on the hook. So we thought it was, I mean, obviously we thought it was fair. There's, again, not much of an explanation, but the numbers were kind of part of that discussion. So I'm not sure I'm supposed to be answering that. I'm sorry. I'm not normally a vague person in answering.
Okay. No, I understand. I just, something to think about, economy going the way it's going and things like that, prices getting higher. So just something definitely we have a vested interest in. The other question I have for you is all these amenities, I'm seeing a lot of shade that may be missing that I think that definitely should be added, especially in this passive play area or the bocce ball courts. That Arizona sun is very hot. Yep. And so we definitely need to have more shade there. And then my other question is, what's your target audience here? Because we have a lot of things... Oro Valley is a funny place where we are like 50% retirees and 50% people like me who have young kids. And so it seems like this is more skewed to one side over the other. So I guess maybe the question is, are you married to every single one of these, cornhole, bocce ball? That's obviously geared toward more the older, like my parents' age who live in this community. So is that something that you would be willing to change?
So Chair Harrington and Member Clark, we actually did a lot of looking. We have a very limited space in this area, and so there really were only a certain types of – they weren't meant to be geared to an age. Part of trying to figure out, the park course, there's a lot of younger folks who use. I know when I go on vacations, I do it. When my kids were little, if there was a play area nearby, it was great because then they could – race me from one course to the next and then go there. I don't know. My kids play cornhole at restaurants when it's available. So I think we were thinking it could really, we felt they were amenities that number one, literally fit the space and was targeted for whatever age range. Again, the multifamily, we don't know who's going to be living there, right? And so this is an amenity space that'll be marketed and targeted for them, as well as the hotel, and then again the public generally. So, didn't mean to show anything that demonstrated age discrimination. We thought we were kind of filling all of it as much as we could, and again, gearing everything down to the south. And by the way, on the shade, we put a couple of Ramadas in there, but we've had a lot of discussions about doing shades that maybe aren't shown on there in areas that need to be shaded. So this is, we'll work with staff on that as it moves forward.
That'd be great. And then another suggestion, we don't have this anywhere in Oro Valley, at least not to my knowledge. It would be great if we could have some free public Wi-Fi there at the court, at the courtyard. So just a suggestion. And that's all my questions.
Just one quick clarification, and then I'll go to Commissioner Nicholson here. You said staff helped you with this. I want to make sure, was that Town West staff or was that Oro Valley staff?
Sure. So whenever we're getting ready to come before you all, and the town council, there's an iterative. So, I mean, this was predominantly us bringing it forward. When I said we've been working with staff, I meant town staff, and kind of figuring out where to place things and where we could fit things. So it was a collaborative with the space that we have available and making sure we were addressing their concerns from a professional planning staff standpoint in planning the area.
Okay, we'll go to Commissioner Nicholson, then we'll go to Senator.
Thank you, Chair Harrington. A question, so if I understand this right, we're phasing this Area 3 to focus on down by the restaurants first, then perhaps a hotel, and then the park. Is that right? Am I getting that right?
Yes. I just want to clarify, you may have meant this, but phase one is everything that you're seeing there right now. So it's all the way up. And then, yes, phase two would potentially bring in that. And then phase three would bring in with a public-private partnership. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. So, and you were right. That's what I meant. So so what does that mean for areas 1, 2, and 4? Is there a status on that you can give us, perhaps?
Yeah, so you're talking about the development areas? Sorry, Chairman Harrington, Member Nichols. I get excited about answering questions and I forget. I'm going to go back. This isn't staff's picture, is a little bit better. But development area 1, which is up on the top, those are the apartments. And so development area 1 apartments and development area 4 apartments, which are the ones near Oracle Road, approval of this phase 1 will allow those to start, as well as the hotel in development area 4. One of the conditions that town council, one of the 23, was the phasing, and that the apartments, development area 4, in order to bring forward those apartments, the hotel needed to be done first to start generating some tax revenues for the project. So what we had in design starting on the private side were those two apartments and two of the hotels, the Tangerine and the Oracle. What we want to do is keep moving on those. So did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. And those are moving forward. This is needed to keep those moving forward. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And it's needed because those the apartments in both of those development areas need 1.7 acres of their open space, which again was already approved to go into that center area. But because we know we can't bring forward the full entertainment district, this is meant to be the phase that will allow us to move that forward and get people on.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Harrington.
Commissioner Solinsky.
Yes, good evening. I'm going to start out with an overview question because I have a lot of questions, but maybe the overview can give me some insight into the other things. First of all, I think sometimes I know I'm being confused by the 1, 2, 3, and 4 development areas versus phase 1, 2, and 3. They sometimes seem to overlap in the discussion. So I think we've got to make sure that we know, well, maybe I need to know which one I'm talking about. I may have to go to Michael with you, but Michael mentioned that What I didn't understand is he mentioning that phase 2 and 3 may not happen, or is he saying, areas 2, 3, and 4 may not happen?
So, what Mr. Spaeth was talking about was these. Oh, I thought it was on that slide. This is phase 1. We should have done A, B, and C for the entertainment district. You're right. That's very confusing. I'm not going to switch it now because then I'm going to get busted by somebody. This is phase 1 of just the entertainment district. What Mr. Spaeth was talking about was this is phase 2 of the entertainment district, which, to make it even more fun, is actually in development area 3 of the overall plan. So what we were saying was this is an opportunity to build the buildings in development area 3 that would bring forward phase 2 of the entertainment of the open space. And if it's, and then there's, to get even more fun, there's options for the different uses within this development area. The two that we were focused on, it could be retail only, it could be a hotel with retail, or it could be apartments with retail. We focused on the apartments because that has required amenity space, and we wanted to show it would be available. Did I just fix that, or did I make it harder?
Can I add on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Thank you, Chair Commissioner Zielinski. What I was trying to convey was that, as Ms. Sylvan stated, this is phase 1, right? And so we know that there are there are other factors that are dictating whether phase 2 happens, right? Because the apartments and the hotel are market-driven per the applicants group. And then phase 3, the full culmination of the entertainment district, is dependent upon that financial partnership agreement, right? So there are things that are outside of this body's control dictating whether phase 2 and phase 3 happen at any point down the road. And so what I was trying to convey was that knowing those things exist and are outside of our control, we focused on phase 1 as the possibility of being a standalone concept, knowing those other two things are determined by things that are outside our control. So apologize if I was confusing at all, but that's what I was trying to convey.
It could be your audience too, so don't worry about that. Okay, so we're saying development area 1 is the first thing that's going to happen, and we need this plan here in order to kick off for you to go and enact development area 1.
1 and 4.
1 and 4, okay. So and 1 and 4 would both be kicked off. Are there?
I can show you where those are if that's helpful. Now I'm going to touch it on purpose. Development area 1 is right there. And then development area 4, those are the apartments. And this is the hotel. So that is the stuff that we had been working on, was in design. We were getting ready for submittal, and we need phase 1 to go forward to kick those back off.
Where I'm going with this, and this also speaks a little to the gentleman that spoke that had a business problem, is you started out by saying Town West has been really trying to get business into the area, keep the business that's there viable, and everything else. Well, certainly building these apartments and building these hotels is going to do that. The other thing that I think is going to do it is to get this courtyard situation and the restaurants going. And I understand some of the complexities that we're not privy to because of the financial aspects of them. However, it seems to me that what's worrisome is we have no timeline in all this. And it's very possible that this all kicks off and you get development area 1 going, get the concessions to, get the open space taken care of without a courtyard, and then we just stall. And it's a catch 22, if we know that analogy. And it's sort of a, cart before the horse or chicken before the egg. But the problem here is the ultimate vision, I think, is really fantastic. Okay. I wasn't here back in October on this commission at that time, so I didn't get the full impact of those presentations. The final vision is fantastic. I think the issue is how we get there. And while some of the things being proposed to me I can understand your concerns and wanting to do them in steps. Won't even use the word phases. But we have no timeline on any of this. We could be giving up, so to speak, some of our wants and desires for this courtyard area to be developed. And I realize maybe financially we're part of the issue, but we're giving that up, and yet having there's no timeline in any of this. And we can say market-driven, but, you know, you're not going to have a market-driven until you get some apartments and hotels in there. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get those restaurants in that courtyard area taken care of or resolved or partially resolved, we're going around in circles. Yep.
Member Harrington, Chair Harrington, and Member Zielinski, I understand what you're saying, and a couple of points to make. One of them is it's not going to do anybody any good to build something if the demand isn't there, right? If we build shells of apartments and a courtyard area that are the demand isn't there. Number one, Mr. Horvath won't do it. He's probably looking at me like, don't even say that out loud. He can't do it as a developer. They won't get financed. The demand has to be there. We need to get our current users, Tuck Tie and others, so that their demand is there. And to your point, while it feels a little amorphous on timing, we're never going to get to the restaurants and courtyard if we don't at least do this. This is the chance to really get everything moving. If we can't do this, there is no alternate plan or universe where we can now add restaurants in an area where they're already struggling without putting the people there. So we're trying to do it in a way where we're, and I realize you weren't here, the vision back in 2019 and 2020 was even more robust when it was in front of this commission. And I know it's hard as a commissioner and even the council members understanding the developer side of things, but we can't get things financed if demand isn't there. And again, it's sort of, you're right, I can't stand here today and tell you when the restaurant cluster and courtyard are going to be built. But we want to at least get this far with the hope and desire to get to the phase. There's two things we don't control, the market and the financing and public-private partnership. So we're trying to keep things within what we can control and improve the situation as best we can. Sorry.
I understand that you can't predict the future. However,
I wish I could.
Wish you could, yes. Apartments seem to be a need, and so do, and I guess the hotels are too. I don't know. I know that your occupancy rate for apartments in Oro Valley must be fairly high, extremely high. So that's going to be an immediate impact and moneymaker. And I don't know what the occupancy rate is on hotels here, but you probably do and have some idea that a hotel is going to be snapped up like that as far as occupancy. But you see, you could do all those things and sit on it, you know, the money rolling in, which is great for everybody, great for the town, great for you. But we have no assurances then that this courtyard is going to be done after that.
Chair Harrington, Commissioner Zielinski, you're right. However, again, if the demand is there and all the other restaurants are doing great, developers, I mean, this ends up making more money for the development community, right, and for the community as a whole. So it becomes an opportunity to create some additional synergy there. There is no, and I've been doing this for 27 years and a lot of it in Oro Valley, and, you know, we've entitled a lot of projects, and I know it feels like we should tell you, you have to put the courtyard in by this date, or you have to put the restaurants in by this date. Those kinds of conditions have not worked because the economy, you know, ebbs and flows, right? So I hear what you're saying, and there's just stuff we don't control. But it is, this stuff is all on the plan with the intent of bringing it forward.
But plans could be written with soft dates in there too, or with some idea like milestones, like if the economy does this, or the, you know, hotels do this, or the apartments do that, and the current restaurants are like this, then the courtyard has to go forward. It's just so open-ended to me, and that's very worrisome. And having been in, I was in industrial manufacturing for 40 or 50 years, so I understand forecasting, I understand the marketplace, not from a retail standpoint, not from a development standpoint, but I think I can project onto that. So there are no, you know, givens, but we always had contingency plans. And I would hope that some kind of contingency could be written into this kind of agreement so that we just don't get this and then come to a complete stop or a stall.
Well, I'm Jim Horvath. Thank you for letting me try to answer your question maybe a little differently.
Can you let us know if you're an Oro Valley resident?
No, I'm not an Oro Valley resident. I am the owner of this property, or the general partner of this property, general manager. And the parcels that are there existing, they're existing land. They've not been developed for about 15 years, I guess, since the center's been built there. There is no demand. They'll never be developed until there is a demand. We don't know when that's been 15 years so far. Right now, Red Lobster, struggling. Right now, Tuk Tuk Thai is struggling. Sometimes some days they do well, some days they don't. The charred pie is not doing great. I know the sales, okay? The Keg and the Olive Garden do pretty well, but the Olive Garden is way below standard Olive Gardens around the country. Okay, it's going to take some time. And also to do the courtyard as was envisioned, there's a lot of liquor laws that are involved, and to actually share a courtyard with three different restaurant owners or four different restaurant owners would almost be impossible under the current state liquor laws. So you really, to do that courtyard like that as envisioned, you pretty much need one operator or one or two friendly operators. So the reality is that we could go today and build restaurants there. Now, why that land sits there vacant, I want you to know, we pay taxes on it, and the taxes aren't cheap, and we get no revenue. So we would love to develop those parcels. That's how we make money. When we get a chance to develop the property, then we have a chance, if everything goes well, we don't make mistakes, we don't overpay, we don't go over budget, we don't take too long to build it, we don't get dragged out too much by the city or the regulations, then we might make some money. But we might be able to at least cover the cost of our taxes. Right now, we can't, we don't, you know, we have to pay the taxes. We have to pay the carrying costs. We pay insurance. We pay to maintain around the properties. So that's incentive for us to develop them. And actually, one of the reasons we want to change that caveat that the staff is trying to put in is because we want to be able to develop them. If we get one or two restaurants, we don't want to have to do the courtyard, because what if we get a restaurant that wants to go there? That means we'd have to do the courtyard. We can't afford to do the courtyard. We'll never be able to do that. So we have to have a public-private partnership. We can't go out and market it to restaurants and say, yes, subject to getting a public-private partnership, we'll build that for you. That might take years. Who knows when we're going to get public pipe? That's a regional drainage way. It was a man-made drainage way, and it takes the water from all the property to the north. We can't afford to underground that. So, you know, that's what we asked the town to help us with. And we only asked them to use the revenue that we were generating by the construction of the new projects that we were building. And we were paying, subsidizing, and paying, basically fronting all the costs. So, you know, we're pretty frustrated. We've got lots of people out there that are struggling to make a living, businesses that invested in your community, and they bought into the fact that the council voted on two or three different occasions to work with the developer to reposition this property, reimagine this property, if you will. We've brought forward several concepts and ideas. We've gotten to this point, and this is the last hurdle we have to get something to happen out there. Now, of course, once we get it going, if things work and we get the opportunity to build restaurants and other facilities there, more commercial property, which we have lots of other properties zoned commercially that's not being developed for apartments, we'll be able to do that, and gladly we'll move forward to that.
Did that help?
Well, it
but
helps.
I can, okay. In answer to your question, we could not possibly commit to any time frame that would make any sense. It's been 15 years right now. We have restaurants that are struggling. We're not about and could not possibly imagine committing to that.
That's fine, but we've never, why haven't we built in the last 15 years to give those restaurants?
Well, first of all, we've only owned the property since 2019,
okay,
number one. Number two, we've been, since 2019, coming here to get approval to build something, to make something happen there.
And I recognize that I don't think you were on the Planning Commission, right, for everything from 2019 going forward. So it's been owned by a Phoenix developer, Vestar. They did the original development. And the Horvaths are the local folks that came in hoping to work, and I think have been working really hard to try and breathe some life into the center. Vestar did a lot of the built the loop, did some of the center, left the vacant pads, and just have spent their time elsewhere.
You obviously do develop other developments in Arizona, if not in the Tucson area. How many of those developments get economic development grants to help with property?
Sure. Chair Harrington and Commissioner Zielinski, I mean, it honestly depends on the project, but there are a number of projects that have components of public-private partnerships. The Uptown project, which is one that people are familiar with, it's the Foothills Mall redevelopment. There's only a small portion of that one that required a public-private partnership, but Pima County engaged in that for a loop connection. That site is completely, there's no regional drainage that runs through it, right? It's completely flat. So that had a small piece of it. Most of the bridges down on the south side of Tucson, that was with the city of Tucson, had an economic development agreement, impact fees. There's a lot of different components of economic development. So those are the ones I'm thinking off the top of my head. I haven't actually calculated the number, but every jurisdiction that I've all of my work has been predominantly south of the Gila. Every jurisdiction that has a big project like this, we've been able to work through something.
Okay, I know I'm going to give up the speaker's box here real soon. Thanks for all the insight. I still come back to that I'm concerned that, and yet I can't get involved in all the financials. I'm not privy to it. I'm not supposed to know about it. I'm not supposed to vote on it, and certainly don't have the background for it in this context. But I still have that reservation that all the things could happen with the one and the four, and that we could be stuck with this area not being finished off. And I don't know how to, smarter people than me may be able to advise me or come up with a question over time to my question, or answer to my questions.
And the only thing that I would add is in some of those others where we've done economic development agreements, as the local government is willing to reinvest in the site, that's been the tipping point to maybe once we invest this much, you have to go do this. Because it starts to solve some of the issues, right? Can't solve the market issues, so we always have to be careful of that. But the courtyard area needs a public-private partnership. So if that were to come in. So that has occurred in a number of the economic development agreements that I've negotiated over the years. I'm not helping you in this situation because you're right, and I'm not gonna give any argument that you're wrong. There isn't anything, and it could just be this. We're hoping it's not.
All right. Any other commissioners have any questions? Commissioner Al Ryan.
So I just wanted to acknowledge that this has been a very educational study session. I just wanted to rearticulate just so that I understand that the developments of areas 1 and 4 are contingent upon development of this recreational area.
Phase one.
Well, it's not phased yet, right? Like, so the developer committed to the entire development from the proposed phases 1 through 3.
Chair Harrington, Commissioner Outlaw Ryan, that if this is where 1, 2, and 3 are getting really confusing. So development areas 1 and 4 are those larger development areas on the larger plan. If phase 1 of this recreation area is approved, which is what we're requesting tonight, then we can continue to move forward on that.
Only if the amendment is approved or recommended for approval to council tonight, right? Otherwise, phases 1, 2, 3 that are proposed are a bucket deal.
What's approved right now is the entertainment district without the phase 1 components, and we can't build that without assistance in the significant cost of undergrounding the drainage. And again, we said that it was stated all the way through when we did the entitlements, as we went through the process. It's in the staff reports. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but this is what's approved. So if in fact this commission either doesn't recommend that, or doesn't move it forward, or the council doesn't approve it, then we are back not doing anything, hopefully not for the next 15 years. But we're not doing, we can't do anything.
Looks like Mr. Horvath has something to say about that.
Yeah.
You're correct in that we propose doing phase 1, 2, and 3 of the central development area, the central drainage area, all together, contingent on a public-private partnership. It was always part of all the agreements that the public-private partnership had to be brought forward. And we proposed that on what we thought were very favorable terms to the town, an opportunity for them to invest in their community, and for us to invest significantly into the community. And that was always a condition of every proposal, every discussion, every presentation. So, and we did our best, and the town didn't even really negotiate with us. They just said they weren't interested in the public-private partnership.
Did that answer your question?
They approved it, subject to a public-private partnership. So,
and the negotiations are ongoing for that agreement.
We've been told it's done. They've been told we're not moving forward on a public-private partnership at this time. That's what's caused us to back into this.
So at the end of the day, with the approval of the amendment to the PAD in order to accommodate a phased approach mm-hmm. to the development of this area, we would get, at a minimum, phase 1 development, which would accommodate the open space requirements for areas 1 and 4 to proceed.
And that was already approved to be able to use that center space. But yes, this would allow that to move forward.
So what happens after that?
What happens after, following up on Commissioner Zielinski's question of, so hopefully what happens is 1 and 4 are go forward, both the apartments and the hotel, and people start to be on the property, and we start to see that Tuk Tuk Thai and other places are really successful, and there is a demand potentially from particularly the gentleman who had the vision, who came to the Planning Commission and Mayor and Council back in 2021 and 2022 to create this restaurant cluster, comes back to the table and says, all right, we got it, you nailed it, here we go. There's also opportunities in development area 2 to do some additional retail and or apartments. So the phasing, the only phasing requirement of the 23 conditions was that that first hotel from the council, the first hotel on Oracle Road needed to come in before the apartments, because the concern from the council was apartments would come in and they're helping to create the opportunity for people to spend money, but it's not a direct tax generator other than the construction sales tax. So a hotel brings in construction sales tax, retail sales tax, and a significant percentage of bed tax. So that's the reason that was phased, with the rest of it coming as hopefully things get become successful. So it creates the opportunity to both of your answers without time frames on it, because there's a lot that we don't control, but the incentive is definitely there to continue to create revenue for both the town and the developer.
Thank you, Ms. Sullivan. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If I may, Chair, I wanted to jump in and see if I could help provide clarity in terms of the commission's focus this evening. So there's been a lot of discussion about an economic development agreement, what has happened, what hasn't happened. Just to be clear, I just wanted to reiterate that through the entire process of the original entitlement, the applicant was very clear that major amenity areas within the actual drainage channel, they would need a partnership, an EDA. At the same token, what I think commission needs to understand is town council never committed to doing an EDA throughout the entire process. And in fact, one of the conditions says the applicant may request an EDA. So my ask of you this evening is to do your best to move beyond the EDA issue, because it's not within your purview. There's no control over that. And I think we've discussed that probably more than we should have this evening, to be quite frank. The focus here tonight is what is fair and reasonable of the applicant to build in phase one. I think that's where you should perhaps stay concentrated in terms of your energy, because that's what you do have control over. They have proposed a specific area. Is that area sufficient or not? There are amenities in phase one. Are those sufficient or not? So my hope, you know, there's been a lot of areas where we can go left, right. I think that's the focus. That's the nut to crack here this evening. So I hope that helps, and I didn't muddy it further. So,
just one minute, Commissioner Posey. Are you're leaving? Okay. Commissioner Nichols.
I'd like to ask. Thank you, Chair Harrington, and commissioners. Thank you, Mr. Vella. The question that I have is the applicant's also proposing a different proposal tonight, right? They're asking for different words to be added to the proposal, if I understand it correctly. Am I not correct? So I haven't heard the staff's view on whether those words are acceptable or not.
Thank you for the question. So Chair, Member Nichols, said the new words are all about phasing. The new words in the PAD just explain what's in phase one and when it's going to happen. All right. Phase one is tied to the apartment development, and that's the phase that you're going to see happen, in our estimation, very quickly if it's approved as is. The words in phase two describe, it will occur if and when apartments are built later, closer to the movie theater. But if it's apartments aren't created, that's not going to happen. The words, the new words, are the phase three area that you've been, that's been depicted, will only occur, it's very specific, it will only occur if there's an EDA in the future, economic development agreement between the town. That's new language, okay? And again, the applicant has expressed their intent through the process, but now is the aim to actually put it in very clear writing. There's a fourth element in the PAD amendment that's new words. It makes clear that the proposed parking area where there might be Christmas tree lighting up by the movie theater will be built subject to market conditions. So there's no tie in terms of the when. And then the second thing in the applicant's PAD is a proposal that the courtyard happen at the time the first restaurant's built. Okay, that's in the PAD words, and you've heard the applicant request to decouple those two things as part of a motion and condition. So so that's, appreciate your question, Mr. Nichols, but that's the focus of the changes. It's all about phasing, phase one, two, and three, and the timing. That's what we're doing tonight.
Commissioner Clark.
Thank you. So this property is kind of in the shape of a number seven, right? So all the numbers are like giving me heartburn too. So trying to keep it all from being confusing. So my directions are wrong, but right where you come in on Tangerine Road, this is a perfect image. So where you see project overview, I wish that these were labeled so I could see, you know, project development one, one, two. Thank you. So number one here, thank you. So these are apartments that are going in, correct? And they've already been approved?
Yes.
Correct. So, and then opposite down at the bottom, same scope, right? Apartments down here? Apartments and hotel. Okay, thank you. So these are already been approved and nothing to do there.
Yep.
Right, okay. I just want to make sure I'm understanding everything correctly. So then when we go into three is what's here in the middle, correct?
Three.
Yes. Thank you. And that's the subject of conversation tonight. So there's another apartment. Are these apartments also have already been approved? Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Clark. Everything, I'm now circling development area two, which we haven't talked about. All of that has been approved.
Okay.
So the only focus in development area two is just that central area.
Right. I understand. Okay. I just am wanting to make sure that yes. I have this right in my brain. So my question in regards to the entertainment district and phase one that we're approving now, will development happen here first before the apartments get built?
Sorry, I was focused on clearing my green. Can you ask that one more time?
Sure. So my question is this courtyard and the entertainment district, but particularly the courtyard and these restaurants and things, will that, I'm wondering which is going to come first, the apartments or this phase one of area three?
Good question. The phase one has to come at the same time as the apartments because 1.7 acres of the open space, which needs to be met in this area, is going to be met
as part of your open space requirement. Okay,
yes.
I'm understanding now. Thank you very much.
So to the phase one of the entertainment or the open space area has to be done, including the amenities that we're committing to, with the apartments in those two development area one and four. And there's also a condition that says that we can't do the development area four apartments until the hotel. So the phasing, as when you put all that together, is the hotel has to come first, then the apartments, because we're going to be developing those two apartments together. And as part of the apartments is this phase one.
Okay.
And that's what we've had ready to go and are hoping to kick back off.
So then my next question is, do you have developers interested and ready to build these apartments and hotel?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
That's who's designing them.
Thank you very much.
Chair Harrington, would you, if I may, I'd just like to respond, add a little more detail to Commissioner Nichols' question. So if I understood correctly, your question was specifically what our response as staff was to their proposed revised PAD amendment language, right? So I would just like to add that, you know, we did ask that they put that in there, and they did put that in there. So we are concerned, kind of like has been talked before, that the construction of the courtyard may never happen. As we mentioned, that, you know, there's a good likelihood that phase one may be the only phase that's ever developed. And we, as we tried to reiterate in the staff report, having that courtyard and the restaurant cluster there is vitally important to the activation of that space and having it really kind of achieve the original intent of what was approved. And I've certainly heard you know, what the applicant has stated about what their concerns are, but that's why we supported having that language in there, was because we were concerned that it may never get built, to be honest. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
If I can just add to that, I've already explained why we're concerned about the language, and what we don't want is for a courtyard to be a reason that we can't develop any restaurants down in this area, and that's our concern. There's currently, I think, 3 restaurants in the cluster. We're pretty confident if we can get to 2 of the restaurants, not just the first one, that we would hopefully be able to work with the town and figure out the courtyard. So what we've requested is that those 2 be decoupled. That's still what we would prefer. If you're more comfortable with language, in part to deal with some of the timing issues, that when at least 2 of the 3 that the courtyard would need to be built, then we'll have to bring 2 of them forward in order to get that. And we'll have to figure out how to do the courtyard with 2 of them there.
Can I interrupt just a moment? The small rattlesnake right outside the door, so careful.
Thank you.
That was worthy of an interruption.
Hopefully he gets out.
Okay. We have Commissioner Vice Chair Sterneman, then we have Commissioner Clark.
You know, one of the things that I was looking in this phase one area, it seems like you're trying to put in 50 pounds of amenities in a 5-pound bag. So one of the things that I would like to suggest is I think you need to cut back on all these amenities, because the footage and acreage is not there. And I was looking at the red line that was bordering. You were indicating that this is a slopes area and you have to abide by that red line, but yet you're putting in boulders and then you're putting in Ramada and the benches and so forth. And I think you're squeezing too much in there. I think this is clarity that, you know, was brought about. You're indicating that you cannot build the courtyard without cost sharing. Is that right?
Commissioner Harrington, Chair Harrington, I keep demoting you, sorry. Chair Harrington and Commissioner Sterman, that is a portion of the regional drainage that needs to be undergrounded. So it could be a public-private partnership. Some communities have found funding through federal and other agencies to fund some public infrastructure. So some funding source to help us make that occur.
So if we approve this, that doesn't mean that the courtyard is going to be built in sequence to the approval of this phase one. Is that correct?
Chairman Harrington, Commissioner Sterman, that was the point of the language that we put in there, saying that the courtyard and the restaurant are not part of this phasing. And that's the language in the very last paragraph of the amendment. And we had added language saying that the courtyard needs to be built with the first restaurant, as staff had requested, in further discussions with Jim and Toby and taking a look at some of the numbers. We can't commit to that without potentially sacrificing an ability to put in restaurants down there. So it's not, this cluster is not part of this phasing. It's specifically kept out. And then within that cluster, what we're asking is that it at least be tied to two of the restaurants so that we have some more flexibility to try and figure out a funding source.
I would like to ask a question from Mr. Bella and Michael Spade. You know, we're fixed on this phase one, phase two, phase three. And maybe there's a logical reason why you went into that type of sequence. But to me, when you talk about phase one, where they've already indicated that they can't build the courtyard, which that is a key function of why we are working on this, why can't we switch them? Where they want all these amenities, and why don't we put them in number two? Because I see in number two, phase two, you have this elaborate recreational amenities that is very unlikely won't be built. So why don't we walk away from this phase one and put it into the phase two? In other words, the area where the bridges are, you know, between the bridges, where the, you could have all these amenities because, again, I'm saying you got 50 pounds of amenities in a five-pound bag, and it doesn't work because of the red lines that you can see here. You know, it seems like we're fixated on this thing, and I wanted to see if that could go back to the drawing board and give them a chance to find the funding for the courtyard.
Chair Harrington and Commissioner Sturman, I do want to point out, I'm realizing now what you're calling the red lines. Those are the existing paths. Those are not the limits of the area that we can develop. And so the and then Byer, I'll turn this back over to you. So the area that is light green is the area that is available after doing our constraints maps, and this level of amenities do fit. With WLB Group was measuring, figuring out there were some other amenities we were looking at that wouldn't fit. So I'm not, you know, having us remove some amenities, Jim would be very happy to do because this is all, none of it's required. And so he wants to do it to activate the space. But I do want to point out that it does, we have done enough to know that it will fit in the area. Byer, I don't know if you want to answer the rest of that question.
If I may, Chair, I was going to explain essentially the same thing in terms of the red line are the sidewalks. And that whole light green area will be flat. The light green will, so that's the opportunity area to place different amenities. Also, you know, as Mr. Spaeth explained previously, that we really feel as staff that the amenities should be located in areas where there's high activity nodes. The area of highest activity on this diagram is around that restaurant cluster, where that U shape of restaurants. So that's why the larger amenities are clustered down in that direction. The concern about moving amenities and pushing them just north of the keg is being unsure whether a hotel, apartments, or that building will ever be constructed. So thematically, that's why we asked the applicant and they followed through in terms of clustering where the activity node is, and that's the courtyard area. So I hope that helps.
Well, it does help. But what if I understand our site tour that we had today, we walked that whole sidewalk area, the red lines, and everything seemed to be so crammed. Now maybe if you remove all the shrubs and everything else that is growing there, you may see a little bit of space. But at the same time, in this planned courtyard, what I understood it to be is there's going to be three restaurants. And out in the parking lot to the right of the green area, down where the courtyard is going to be a restaurant. But the back of the restaurant is going to be very, very close to the sidewalk. So what we're doing, we're cramming everything together, and I really believe that, you know, we're not allowing we're not allowing enough space for them to adjoin all these amenities, if those amenities are necessary. And now we know, or we've learned, the courtyard is not going to be built until the other the other phasing or funding needs to be found. So that's where I'm kind of coming from. I hope I'm not confusing the commission or planners.
No, it's certainly good observations, Commissioner Sturman. And that's why earlier I tried to provide the advice is really the nut here is what is fair to require as part of phase one. That helps simplify this entire discussion. Is what the applicant proposed fair in terms of what they're paying for, in terms of area and amenity, or should it be different? Given all the other factors that we don't have control over.
Thank you.
We'll go to Commissioner Clark and Commissioner Pulsey.
Just a comment. I'm thrilled to have something like this come to Oro Valley. Something in the style of St. Philip's Plaza, something that we certainly need. The amenities certainly lack in Oro Valley. So as apartments are approved, I worked at that Best Buy before it closed several years ago, and I know how depressed that area has been for the last 15 years, so it certainly needs a shot in the arm. So I appreciate this. So I can see you guys getting a little frustrated back there, and so know that, I'm excited for something like this to come to Oro Valley.
Thank you.
Commissioner Pulsey, please hold your pause.
Commissioner Pulsey. Yes, I wanted y'all to know that I've been here since day one. And Mr. Vela said it well. He said, this is about phasing. It's all about phasing. And I just want to echo what Commissioner Clark said. She said it well. And convenience is key for marketing. It is. I mean, you go to whatever's close. If you can, most people don't want to go a long way to get something. This is ideal for it. Second of all, this area is perfect for apartments and motels. It is. I mean, I don't even know what else it would be used for. But I don't have a marketing mind, but I just think it's great. And let's see. The amenities are excellent. I was blown away by how many you put in there. I do wish there was more motels, and I hope that it all works out to where there is because of the tax base is high. And I believe, and I might be speaking out of turn, but I think this tax goes towards economic development. It's earmarked for that. I'm not sure. I'm speaking out of turn, but that would help with the partnership or something, So anyway, thank you. I appreciate the interest y'all have taken in Oro Valley as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Solinsky.
Yes, I have a question that probably I should know the answer to, but unfortunately I don't. So it's better to ask a question than not get it resolved. No matter which way we vote on this, and it's majority, I guess, that goes to the council. Does the council see all the background information where we had concerns? It's not just a vote that they see, like, okay, they said go, or they said no. It's that they saw, whichever way we went, they saw all of our concerns and maybe take that into consideration in future negotiations or whatever.
Council is aware. They get to see this all the footage as well. And some may be in chambers now.
I know Ms. Barrett is.
Okay. Any other commissioners have any questions or comments? I actually have a few questions and comments. I'm sure that the owner has done a market study analysis on apartments.
Yes.
So I'm sure they know what's needed or the demand, and I'm sure that analysis tells what's the need, demand for this area. I'm sure you're shaking your head yes. So
yes, I was waiting for you to finish because I know I need to say it out loud. Chairman Harrington, yes, that has been done, and it was done back in 2019, and that demand has actually increased. since then, and as I said before, that design had already started, and you don't start design until you've got some of the financing set up, and the financing means the market is proven. So we're there.
Very good. Thank you for acknowledging. I think the project is a great project. It's a great location. The ownership bought a great property, and it looks like Town West really want to move forward with the property. Planning and zoning only has certain control over certain things that are done. And of course, that has been made very clear. We have only planning and zoning to oversight. Definitely, we understand that there's business owners that are struggling, and we're fully aware of that as well. So we want to try to expedite this process as best we can as planning and zoning. But of course, looking at the site, I visit the site more than I should to going to many of the stores, trying to support local as much as possible. So we definitely know that more business and mixed development is something that is a great thing. Live, work, play. That's ideal. And I'm sure the ownership is aware of live, work, play. That's exactly what they've sold to the town of Oro Valley. And of course, a lot of people are looking at what we've done. And of course, we want to make sure that we don't approve something and then it's changed. And of course, we have to answer to ownership and town residents of Oro Valley. We're trying to do our fiduciary duty to do the right thing. And of course, as staff is telling us, make sure we try to be fair, as fair as planning and zoning can be on this issue. And I definitely think that ownership of the property is trying to do the right thing, and it looks like it's moving in that direction. And of course, hearing some of the questions that are given by some of the other commission members, there's a lot of additional questions that are being asked of you, and some of it we don't have control over. I don't know if we're quite there yet, and there's still more questions there. And of course, last thing we want to do is hold up the process. We understand businesses want to move forward. I'd love to see shovels in the ground on this project. Going out to the site, we're going up and down this entire walkway area here, and looking where the bocce ball and some of the parkour and some of the things. And if you look to the left and right, all you see is a sea, especially on the Walmart side, a sea of just parking lot. I don't see that many people would use some of the facilities, and I think that Vice Chair Sternman was trying to get to that point there, is that you put bocce ball there and you don't do anything else, no one's going to use that, and it's going to be vandalized, and it's going to be overgrown by weeds if your landscaping company's not taking care of it. So I think that's the hardest part where we're trying to get at, is we don't see that works. And of course, if you bring it down to one area, maybe so. And if you bring it down to where there's restaurants, I think that will, and of course, the apartments is a major factor. I'm sure once the apartments are in there and the hotels are in there, the businesses will flourish and other restaurants, other maybe apartments or hotels will come on and join in because there's a funding source coming in through it. And of course, I love for Town West to walk away with truckloads of cash on this particular project. That's great. I'm happy with that. It just doesn't flow as we were looking through it, where you're out looking from the bocce ball court, there's 40 Walmart parking spots vacant. No one's going to go out there. That's, I think, where we have an issue with, or at least I do. It just didn't match.
Chair Harrington, and I've also been out there walking around trying to envision the part of it, and you mentioned this when you were talking. Envisioning that now is really hard to do, right? Because the 400-plus apartments are not there. The people are not living there. The apartment complex isn't encouraging and having people use the area. Same thing with the hotels. So we had this conversation as well with staff, and again, you know, pulling it down to the south where it's closer to the loop, and we'll tie into the restaurants that hopefully are going to be built, is going to create a little bit more of that space. So I hear you. I don't necessarily know how to resolve it. At some point, there is a leap of faith that we all have to take to help Tuk Tuk Tai and to help all of the folks. And I think there's really no question in anybody's mind that moving forward apartments on this site, creating that mix of use and connecting it with pedestrian connections, which we're going to be doing, it's there right now. Some of that infrastructure is in there. We need to activate it. We need to try this. Because otherwise, it's just going to be what it is now, which is not what anybody wants. So, you know, getting it, I can't remember what the saying is, but getting it perfect, I get, because we all want it to work. None of us want to be here, you know, in a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years going, well, crap, that didn't. We want it to work. So we're going to be working really hard to make sure it does. And I do want to point out that when you're out there, you'll see a lot of volunteer security in the area. In fact, when we were doing the balloon float back in the day to create the ability for people to envision height, those security gentlemen and women were all over us, making sure we were allowed to be there. So, and this was at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So there is a lot of security. The Town West and the management does take, you know, making sure that the site is in good condition. So a lot of that is part of the professional management. And Town West, I think when we were here before, we had the whole rap sheet of all the centers that Town West owns and manages and works on. So they're a known, and are known to do a good job. So we're going to do our darndest, to make this work. We, you know this, we really don't want to be delayed. So if there's a motion, I mean, as Commissioner Zielinski pointed out, the council gets the whole record. So all of the concerns and discussions, if there's a motion that you want to encapsulate some direction to us as we move forward, we would appreciate that in order to keep going. And again, the clarity on the courtyard and restaurant timing as requested. I don't know if that answered any of the concerns that were embedded in your comments.
Okay. Shortly, there'll be a motion on the floor. And, of course, I'm just trying to make sure, I'm trying to get to that yes for this particular project. It's just certain things are just not circling quite there for me personally. Of course, other commissioners may have a yes or no. That's their decision. It's just, for us as commissioners, we're looking at if we approve some of these motions and we don't do the courtyard. And, of course, some of the ideas and thoughts is in Tucson, which I rather, Oro Valley is a much, to me, it's a much higher level of quality. They do an MSA where there's a little courtyard area, there's food and things like that in that area. And it actually draws people to that area. I'm thinking if the courtyard is approved, and I know that's not a money generator for you, and of course you're not going to get those apartments built or the hotels built, but if you do something like that, that's going to draw people to the community. And that's where I think that some of us are at, is we're trying to get that entertainment center built so you do get the clients to the Tuk Tuk Tai, you get to the other facilities.
Yeah, do you have any restaurant operators that want to go there? Do you know of any?
I haven't marketed any, and I'm sure you're making a point, and I understand that.
There aren't any.
I understand.
Okay, you got restaurants that are barely staying open. When we get the apartments built, when we get the opportunity to get the hotel or maybe more than one hotel on the site, then we might have an opportunity to do the restaurants. What we were suggesting is that you give us a chance to build one or two restaurants without doing the courtyard, so that we could again build another restaurant. Once we do that, the courtyard, we can't afford to build a restaurant and a courtyard, so you need to have a private public partnership. It's been 15 years since those properties have been sitting there undeveloped. There's room for 200,000 square feet more of retail and restaurants on the property. Okay, there is no demand for those facilities. We're trying to get them. We're working, you know, we're in discussions with all the major restaurant groups, national and local. They're not there. We're not going to invest in it. I don't think you'd invest your money in that. We certainly aren't going to invest in some pie in the sky until there's a demand, until there's actual real people that want to operate a restaurant in Oral Valley in this location. So if you want to restrict it to make it even more hard, more difficult, restrict it with the courtyard being built. That's fine. We'll go along with that. Doesn't matter. It'll be another however many years until a restaurant is there, because you can't build one restaurant for that courtyard. You have to build three restaurants at least to justify that courtyard. And even then, it probably doesn't make sense to build expensive restaurants and pay for that undergrounding of the infrastructure. Infrastructure is usually paid for by the community, usually worked out in some kind of a private-public partnership. In this case, that's not happening. It's unfortunate. We'd love to see it happen, but, you know, we're here. We have an opportunity. We have 2.9 acres that we're dedicating. We only are required 1.7 to meet the requirement. Normally, this is not open to the public. These are just on apartment sites. It's open space. It's not activated open space. It's not utilized for anything. Possibly sometimes there's a walking path, possibly not. All the amenities that normally are built for apartments are on the apartment sites. These are just extra things that we're trying to do, mainly for the benefit of the apartment dwellers. But it's open to the public, so people can take advantage of it, certainly to walk your dog, sit on a park bench, have some shade structures there, possibly go to some of the other stores or restaurants. And, of course, if their kids want to play in the play area that we're planning on with boulders and some trees, those kinds of things, something there for people of all ages. But really, it's not necessarily the end-all to attract the public to this facility. To do that, we needed the private-public partnership, and we need phase three. And we would love to have that happen. But until that does, at least this gets us a chance to save some of the businesses that are there, to activate the property, and get started on the vision for the project. And that's what we're trying to do here today. Get started on the vision.
Thank you. Sure. And I understand you have a vision, and I'm totally on board what I understand what you're trying to do. I'm thinking that we're going to put a motion here on the table. If we decide to yes or no, I don't know. There's other commissioners here that get to vote. I think there could be some additional options that the ownership could possibly reach out to town to come up with some different options for us to vote on. I don't know what that is at the moment here, but I don't know if you need more time. That may be something that the ownership could request for it. Of course, I do know time is not on your side. So we'd like to, of course, if that is an option, maybe push it off to the next agenda, next meeting.
Commissioner Harrington, Chair Harrington and members of the commission, I've appeared before you all many times, and when there's something that we need to continue in order to resolve, you know, we try to do it. This is one where, again, we started this in 2019. The funding is there. The developer is there right now. We already were stalled for 3 months working on this phasing plan. Again, if there is a recommendation with some additional things that you would want to see, to carry that forward. But we're not comfortable. Doesn't mean you can't do it, but we're not comfortable as the applicant agreeing to a continuance. This is scheduled, and it's partly to get this going for the council meeting next week. So we're happy to hear what those are, and we can work with staff as we move it forward, but we would respectfully request that you move it forward tonight if you can.
Okay. Any additional questions? Mr. Selinsky?
Anyway, this is maybe a question for staff. The area we saw today and looking at things, the courtyard area, Is there no way to do a truncated courtyard where the whole drainage doesn't have to be done, but something less than that? Because there's still, you know, there still seems to be something behind the traffic ramada, the transportation ramada, and this green space. And that would be, I just want to get that into the record. I don't need an answer today. I'm sure that you can't give me an answer today. Well, I'm not sure of that, but that would be a suggestion, is maybe some compromise can be reached, if not on the financial basis, on the structure of a smaller courtyard. I think that that courtyard and the restaurants and the green space with all the recreation areas is what we need to get a sense of community in that Oro Valley marketplace. And I understand needing all the apartments and the hotels, but another thing that we need is for all those people to gather someplace that's meaningful with maybe a smaller courtyard with the green space. And that's all. Thank you.
If I may, Chair, I just want to point out that whether or not the courtyard is smaller, medium size, or the large size that it is now, it still will require significant drainage improvements. So that may not be helpful in terms of reducing the size relative to cost. I do want to encourage you this evening to make a motion that even if it's what you just mentioned, Member Zelensky, I mean, that's all within your purview to create a motion that whether it's fine with phase one or expand phase one to include certain areas, that's all within your purview. It's also within your purview to continue the item. I do want, and that's entirely your decision, I do want to encourage you that continuances, I think, are most appropriate when you're lacking information rather than you're having a hard time making a decision. So this is a hard decision. So if you have the information you need to make a decision, we implore you to keep going and try to work out a condition or approve what's in front of you this evening, and we're here to help.
Commissioner Nichols.
Thank you, Chair Harrington. Mr. Vella, so the PAD amendment as it exists in our packet, is it complete now, or are we being asked to modify that?
If I may, Chair Member Nichols, the ask by the applicant is to modify it. And so the PAD amendment right now says that the courtyard is to be built with the first restaurant. And the applicant has requested that that language be revised to essentially enable the courtyard be built to their timing when market conditions are appropriate.
Right, but we don't have that exact language, correct? So we have to craft something ourselves here?
Yes, and if that's the direction you wish to go in terms of that modification.
Any other questions? Well, any questions before we take a vote?
Certainly at this point, encourage a motion.
Do we have a motion on the floor?
Yes, I move to recommend approval of the revised planned area development amendment based on finding the request is in general conformance with the overall design of the previously approved entertainment district.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion?
Yes. I don't think Commissioner Posey included the new language that was asked for. Was that on purpose? Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, we have the motion made. If we want to amend it, we can actually come forward with a motion, with an amendment to that motion. But the motion was made and seconded.
There's a first and second. All those in favor? Oh, sorry.
So let's have some discussion and decide if somebody wants to.
I think we're not going to get where we want to go if we don't fix this. So either way, I think what you're saying, do you agree? I guess, Commissioner Posey, do you agree with what the applicant said? So in that case, we need to amend it so that it's clear the language is what is intended.
Okay, thank you. Would someone like to do that amendment for me, please?
Do you need help with
the amendment? What we need is a friendly amendment to your original motion at this point in time. Does somebody have a friendly amendment to take that language into consideration?
Yes, if someone could help me with the language.
That's what I was asking to.
We'll give it a go. So amend the PD amendment proposal to enable construction of the courtyard relative to the applicant's market-driven timing.
Yes, that's what I intended to say. Thank you. That's my proposed amendment, Commissioner Posey.
Did the first and the second of that particular motion adopt that?
Yes.
You agree to it?
I agree to
it. I will agree to it, yes. It wasn't my original, but I will agree to it, yes.
Well, thank you. Now that is the motion.
Commissioner Sherman, did you agree with that motion?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Another condition I would like to add is the addition of shade structures, not previously added, as well as expiration of public Wi-Fi in this courtyard.
Is that something also acceptable by the maker and seconder of the motion?
Yes.
Second, yes.
Sorry, if I may, just a point of clarification. Shade structures where? Just so we know how to enforce.
Thank you. Over areas such as bocce ball, the cornhole, you know, those, and particularly the passive play area where the kids would be.
That was your motion?
Okay. Thank you, yes.
Do you agree with that motion?
I do.
I do.
Okay. All right. I think we get that amendment there. All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. 7-0. Anyone, any nays?
I'll abstain.
6-0. That brings us to, do we have another motion for item B?
I move to recommend approval of the revised development plan, conceptual site plan, based on the findings. The request is in general conformance with all the overall design of the previously approved entertainment district, with the conditional items that were made for the planned area development.
I second.
We have a first and second. Any other additional comments? Hearing none, do we have a, all in favor say aye.
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 Any nays?
I'll abstain, Chair.
The motion carries 6-0. All right. Is there a planning update from staff?
Chair, members of the commission, yes, there's, I'm going to apologize in advance, a fairly extensive update. I'll try to shimmy through it pretty quickly. The next commission meeting is, of course, November 7th, and the aim is to discuss the Town of Oro Valley housing study. So the aim is to release that study a week prior to the meeting. That'll be part of your packet, and it's a study session item. It's purely for discussion. There's no action. It really is more of a presentation and discussion point. Neighborhood meetings. You would think we have a special in neighborhood meetings because there are a lot coming up. Coming up on November 9th, there's a project that many of you are familiar with regarding known as Avia East and West, the northeast and northwest corner of the intersection of Rancho Viscoso Boulevard and Tangerine Road. The idea is one developer wishes to establish one-story rental units on both sides of the road. So that is going toward its third neighborhood meeting with the idea of coming before the Planning and Zoning Commission perhaps in December as a goal, their goal. Neighborhood meeting as well on November 16th. And that's for a proposed subdivision for a 31-lot, about 20,000-square-foot lots, rezoning at La Cañada and Moore Road. That's the area that was just recently annexed. It's right up adjacent to the traffic circle there at Moore and La Cañada. All right, another one, neighborhood meeting on November 20th on a Monday. Proposed 18-lot subdivision in an area that already has zoning. This one's hard to explain in terms of the location. It's you know, when you go down Naranja and you're heading towards First, if you keep going right through that subdivision, Silverhawk, and actually access would be through that subdivision, there's a plot of land well behind that subdivision as you head toward Oracle. That was zoned by the county many, many moons ago for development. And that's coming forward. All right. Our December P&Z, the idea is you'll get an update on the progress on the general plan that we're working on in terms of and we're getting out to the public right soon, just after the state of the town. So just after this week, we're going to start community outreach. Also, the aim is to get you guys potential code amendments regarding small farm animals, which we discussed at study session previously, as well as that mobile food unit park code amendments. So, all right, that's it in a nutshell, and I appreciate your time.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We are adjourned. Thank you all. Have a great night.